You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito here. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your Tuesday to join me. God bless you. You are tuned into WGOD Radio, and you're going to hear part two now of a sermon I just preached on Sunday. We had communion on Sunday, and once a year or every other year, I like to preach a sermon on communion, and that's what we did. This sermon's entitled Holy Communion the Right Way. At the risk of sounding arrogant, maybe you'd say, oh, who are you to say? Well, it's not me. It's what the Bible says is the right way, because the Bible warns of a wrong way to take communion. And we're going to see that as well in this message. We're going to see, boy, first of all, the Apostle Paul was sore at the people of Corinth, the church at Corinth, First Baptist there in Corinth, for taking this the wrong way. And he was telling them the things that would happen. He told them people were sick. People were weak. And not only that, it says many people were sick. Many people were weak. And many people had died for taking communion the wrong way. Reminds me of that Indiana Jones movie. Remember that? Searching for the Holy Grail, and the bad guy finds it and drinks from it, and his head explodes, and the knight said to him, he has chosen poorly. And that's what this reminds me of. They must have got that from the Bible, because that is what happens when you take communion irreverently. Your head might not explode, but the Bible said many people were sick and people have died for taking it the wrong way. That's what we're looking at. If you'd like a copy of this message, send me an email. I'll be glad to send it to you. Paul@WMIEFM.com. Go to my Facebook page, WGOD Radio. You can save it from there. Or go to my website, WGODradio.com. If you like these messages, I invite you out to Island Community Church 1 week. We're going through the book of Revelation every week. Wednesday nights, we just started the book of Daniel verse by verse. We're meeting again tomorrow night at 6. We'll be in chapter 2. So, okay, here's the next part of this message, which will conclude with tomorrow's program, Holy Communion the Right Way.
Now, a tear is something that looks exactly like wheat. And you can't tell the difference until either A, you become an expert, or B, it starts to grow fruit. But once you spot one, you'll never forget one. I remember living in Colorado again. I said to my wife at the time, I saw a little yellow flower, and I said, oh, what a cute dandelion. And my wife said, that's a weed. I thought it was a flower. And then after I recognized it, I saw them everywhere. I said, those are weeds everywhere. I didn't know. Looked like a flower to me until someone that knew better than me pointed it out to me, and then I never forgot again. The difference between a weed and a flower, though it looks just like a flower, it was a weed. So now the kingdom of heaven is just like a man sowing good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came. Enemy is ekthros anthropos. That means a hostile man. While he was sleeping, a hostile man came and sowed tares among the wheat. And then he went his way. But while the stalk had sprouted and produced fruit, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the master of the house, they approached him and said to him, "Sir, was it not good seed you sowed in your field? From where then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy," or "a hostile man has done this." So the servants said to them, "Do you wish then that we should go and gather them up?" But he said, "No. Lest gathering up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them." Then the Lord proceeded to make this statement, Matthew 13:30. He says, "Leave both to grow together until the harvest. And then at harvest time, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them. And then gather the wheat together into my barn." See, there's only one problem. And that is, if you don't know the word of God, then you won't know who the real heretic is. Or who the tare is planted by the devil to lead you astray. You have to know the original to identify the counterfeit. And if you don't know the original, then you can't identify the counterfeit. Sorry, but it's just never that easy. There must be heretics among you so that, he's telling you the reason why. There must be heretics among you so that those that are approved may be recognized among you, one translation reads. Thinking of that, recognized. Like trying to spot a counterfeit $100 bill, right? One who works at the bank and handles money all day long can spot a counterfeit $100 bill from 50 yards. Same as the tare, looks just like the wheat until closer examination. I personally, after 18 years of working in radio, I can hear the difference between an MP3 and a WAV file. I never used to, but now I can. It's the same thing with heretics in the church. Heretics exist to advance the body of Christ. Heretics are part of God's plan. How well do you know the original, I should ask? Can you spot a heretic? God told Hosea the prophet, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." How well do you know the original? Well-meaning Christians have fallen by the wayside for years because of ill-meaning heretics. David Koresh, Jim Jones, 912 people died with Jim Jones, who called himself Messiah. Or else the guy down there in Miami who says he's Jesus. He's got a million followers who says there's no such thing as sin or no such thing as the devil. And he's got a million followers. Also, remember this. God uses heretics to purge the church of Jesus Christ. I would say of those who don't have faith. God uses heretics to purge the church. Same as the 200 million. Remember in Revelation chapter 9 when it says there's 200 million people to cross over the Euphrates River? John says, "I heard the number of them." There wasn't 50 million people in the world back in the year one. Now, let me get back on point. This is just an aside on why there's so many heretics in the church. It's part of God's plan to, number one, drive you to the Word of God. And number two, purge the church of those that don't have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Okay, we're looking at the corruption of the Lord's Supper. Verse 20. "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of another. One is hungry and another is drunk." What? "Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those that have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? No, I do not praise you." Again, wow, is Paul sore. Have you ever seen such a text like this in all the Bible? Paul mad like this, again, for how they took communion. Now, here's what went wrong here in this city, in this church. First, we have to better understand. We have to have a better understanding of how they took communion there at Corinth. They didn't just pass around the little grape juice thimbles that they bought at Christian book distributors. They had full-fledged feasts there, and they had much food and wine. And these feasts turned into something that certainly was not God-honoring, let's say. And probably these divisions and factions, they pitted the rich and influential on one side and this clique on the other side of less fortunate people. Perhaps they ate all the food and drank all the wine, all in Jesus' name. And you have a man over here hungry because perhaps due to his status, he was not invited to the feast. And over here you got people drunk that drank all the wine. Then in verse 22, you see Paul's response to this. He says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Do you hate the church of God that much? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I do not praise you. Which brings me to point number three. The real meaning of communion is number three. The real meaning of communion. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, during the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And having given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new diatheke, a testament or covenant. This is the new testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen is right. There it is. As often as you do this, as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. First off, catch what he says. I received from the Lord. Do you see that? Meaning the Lord gave Paul special revelation about communion. The Lord cares so much for how we take communion that he had to give special instructions to one of his apostles on how to do it right. And he did that many times with Paul. Acts 18, 22, 23, 27, Galatians 1, 12, 2, 2, 2 Corinthians 12. Now, what's the real meaning of communion? It says right here in verse 24, do this in remembrance of me. Do what? Have a meal, so to speak, like Thanksgiving. And remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for you by dying in your place, like all the great songs we sang this morning about the blood. About all that Jesus has done for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the